Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for June 19th. Or is it Juneteenth, right? In the year of our Lord, 2023, this is Hour 2 at 2. The goal always, to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to do so on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We want to use the checks and balances and the principles that made America free to do it again. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing fantastic. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org with me. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir. And an unhappy or happy Juneteenth day to you, sir.
Well, thank you very much, Sam. It's good to be with you as always. Thank you.
I want to talk a little bit about this Juneteenth day really quick and give you kind of a 30-second on what Dr. Scott Bradley and I talked about last hour. Let you talk about that for just a second, then we'll move to the topics at hand. Juneteenth is a federally recognized holiday that supposedly celebrates the end of enslavement in the United States. I say that the answer is not. It doesn't celebrate the end of slavery in America. Juneteenth is nothing but a satanic, fake news, dishonest rewrite of history, ladies and gentlemen. Are you free to act for yourself in America today, we asked? Unfortunately, there's no such thing in America as a state without property tax. Tax Freedom Day is annually calculated every year by a think tank. If we are not slaves now, some would argue, then I would argue, at what point would we be considered slaves? We talked about slave definitions by the American Heritage Definition, and I submit we are slaves, folks. And that's the problem in America today. We think we're rejecting slavery. But the truth is, these holidays, whether it be Martin Luther King Day, whether it be Kwanzaa, whether it be Juneteenth Day, all these days are designed to eventually weed out, get rid of, shut down true holidays like Christmas, like Thanksgiving, like Constitution Day, like the real Independence Day. See, this one's vying to say we're the real Independence Day, not the bogus one of the evil white founding fathers that made slaves, you see. Let's have a real Independence Day. They're trying to subvert and rewrite our history. The communists love it. The socialists love it. I get that we reject slavery, but on those altars do they betray we the people and turn us all into slaves, Lowell?
Well, great point, Sam, every one of them. You know, Brian McClanahan talked about Juneteenth back a couple of years ago when it first was floated as a federal holiday. And there's, you know, talking about history, it's important to get our history right, because if we don't, then we make mistakes. And so this is what he had to say about Juneteenth, Sam. He said, hereditary slavery did not end in the United States until December 6, 1865. The ratification date of the 13th Amendment. Slave auctions continued in Kentucky through November 1865, 5 months after slavery supposedly ended on June 19, 1865. If the last slaves were told they were free on June 19th, then what about the slaves sold into slavery after that point? Would be news to them. Delaware, Kentucky, and New Jersey, all slave states in 1865, all rejected the 13th Amendment to the Constitution, and slavery was legal in each state until December, 6 months after June 19th of 1865. By the way, Delaware, Kentucky, and New Jersey were technically all Union states during the war, though Kentucky was a special case and could be considered a Confederate state as well. Only Mississippi rejected the 13th Amendment from the former Confederate state. That means three Union states and only one Confederate state rejected the amendment that ended slavery after the war. So much for the theory that the Union fought the war to free the slaves, even after Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation in 1863. End of quote. So you're talking about slavery in the current day, which is very appropriate and is far more interesting maybe than this bit of history that Brian McClanahan elucidated. But I also think it's important to understand that June 19th was not the correct day to celebrate the end of slavery. Not only did it not end then, legally end then, as Brian McClanahan described, you could argue that it ended in December of 1865, December 6th of 1865, which was the ratification date of the 13th Amendment. But then you've got your arguments to deal with, Sam, which is that we're still slaves. We aren't free because of a number of reasons, right? We're in debt. Most people are way in debt. And when you're in debt, you're a slave to your creditors. We're enslaved today because of overregulation. We're enslaved by, in numerous ways, like, young men 18 years of age and old, they have to register for the draft. Does a free man do that? Well, no. So we are slaves, Sam. You've really hit the nail on the head. And
I got a question.
On this day,
there any private property in America, even your conscience, these days?
No, there's not. I mean, you have to pay a tax on the property that you supposedly own, and if you don't pay that tax, you lose your property. So can you truly be said to be the property owner? No, you don't. You're a slave on the land that's owned by the county. If you don't pay your taxes, you lose your property, Sam.
And I would say even your conscience. If you don't want to bake a cake for the gays, you better. You'll lose your business, my friend. You don't even have the freedom of your conscience anymore, do you? What if you think that, this sickness is bad, but it's no reason for me not to go to church? My conscience says I should go to church. Oh, no, sir. You won't go. You got that? That's the problem with this discussion. Now, do I agree we have more freedoms in some ways than slaves? Yes. But in some ways, we have less freedoms than slaves. If I'd be a slave back in the day, I wouldn't have to worry about my next meal. Might not be a very good meal, but I'd get one, or else I wouldn't be able to work, right? So I got to worry about my next meal, don't I?
That's right. And Sam, there were a lot of property owners in the South who depended on their slaves to be profitable. And so they treated them just as well as they treated like their horses. They knew that they had to have strong horses in order to pull wagons. They knew that they had to have strong slaves in order to pick the cotton or harvest the sugar cane or the rice, whatever they were growing. And so there were a lot of property owners who treated their slaves very well, making sure that they were properly fed and clothed and get enough rest at night and so forth, right? Because that was their livelihood. They depended on those assets. And so, I'm not condoning what they did.
And we're not excusing slavery either. But we're making a point of right of conscience and right of action and ownership of one's labor. The second you're born into America and you get a Social Security number, aren't you responsible for the $31 trillion debt plus unfunded liabilities and mandates and everything else? You're on the hook for that, right? Your labor's controlled from the second you're born till the day you die, and you'll never pay it off, right?
Right.
So, see, I get that the slavery's different today. It's kind of a faux slavery where you think you're free. It's kind of like the difference between socialism and communism or fascism. They twist the details, but the end road, the end game is the same. You have no agency. You have no liberty, ability to act for yourself, and your labor is not yours. Lol.
Which reminds me of the very astute observation or saying that there's no one more hopelessly enslaved than he who thinks he is free. Right? If you think you're free, but you're actually a slave, but you think you're free, then you truly are enslaved because you simply aren't aware. You don't have the awareness to know that you're enslaved. And so, and that's the case today with so many of probably everybody, almost everybody who isn't self-aware, who doesn't study history, and isn't aware, then they're truly enslaved because why? Well, they think they're free, Sam.
And this debate, in my opinion, isn't the debate whether slaves were slaves in totality or not. It isn't to debate that. What the real reason for this discussion is to highlight, look, how free were we in the early part of America before the Civil War? How free are we now? How free were we before COVID versus how free are we now? And how free will we be in the future if we continue to allow this road to be traversed at breakneck speed? We're going 90 mile north on this thing, right? The goal is to wake up and realize the awful situation we find ourselves in and to make clear incremental changes to change direction, to change the tide. That's the purpose of the discussion. You may not agree with me completely. You may think some of my points are worthless. You may, but at the end of the day, I'm hoping that you will at least see the road we're on is not a good one. And if left unchecked, we're in deep, deep trouble. All right, the deep state, speaking of deep, oh, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, let's add another aspect to this, Sam. And that is that if you are enslaved by vice, then you are also enslaved. I'm speaking now of not political slavery. I'm not talking about, you know, physical slavery. I'm talking about spiritual slavery, right? And if you and we're all subject to some extent to vice, right?
The natural man. Hey, can you skip the break for me?
In every one of us.
Keep going, yeah. Sir.
Oh yeah, yeah. And so the natural man is an enemy, right, to God. And yet all of us are natural men. And so we are, in some respects, a slave to our vices. Are some vices worse than others? Well, sure. And there's a whole spectrum of vices. And our job, our job is to eliminate our vices one at a time or, you know, several at a time as we become aware of these vices and how they bind us down. They enslave us, right, to the extent that we allow them to. We can make choices, and we ought to make choices that unbind us, that free us from our vice. And if we'll make the choices, the simple choices that free us from our vices, then we will truly be free. But, you know, to think that, you know, I live in America and therefore I'm free without realizing that we're enslaved by our vices, or we're enslaved by the debt that we have on our credit cards, or that we're enslaved by overregulation, by an overzealous government, that is blindness. And we'll never be free until we take off the blinders and become more self-aware, which really is one of the topics that I want to discuss a little bit later on in our broadcast today, Sam, is self-awareness, you know, consciousness.
Amen to that. And so, one last point on slavery, too, ladies and gentlemen, is if you can't get accurate information, so the media controls what you consume from a mind point of view. They control the media and the education system. You are a slave by ignorance because you can't get the information that's true to make you free. If you're just peddled lies in your education system, peddled lies in your media, at what point then are you a slave if you're completely controlled and your decisions are and your reference point is nothing but lies? Contemplate that for me, if you will, my fellow Americans. All right, speaking of, we're in deep trouble if we allow this slavery to continue. The deep state versus Donald Trump, an incredible article written again by Ron Paul. Lol.
He observes that the more damage the Democrats and the rhinos try to do against Trump, the stronger he becomes. You know, it's like one of those horror, it's a bad horror flick, you know, where the more they try to beat up the guy, the stronger he becomes, you know. Well, that's pretty much what's happening here. Dr. Paul recites what the Democrats and many complicit Republicans have tried to do to Trump. Now, some of this I did not know, Sam, and so I think it's worthwhile to review it. He writes that, you know, thanks to the Durham report, we now know that the Democrat political machine opposed Trump even before his election in 2016, quote, Hillary Clinton's campaign, with the full knowledge of the candidate and the sitting president, Barack Obama, cooked up a dirty trick to portray Trump as an agent of Russia in their effort to deny Trump the White House. When that didn't work, they weaponized the FBI, CIA, and the rest of the deep state to undermine and hobble his presidency. They spied on Trump and his campaign staff using false information manufactured by the FBI. When that didn't work, they impeached him under the false charge that he sought foreign assistance for his 2020 reelection bid. This time, a spy in the person of NSC staffer Alexander Vindman was sent to listen in on Trump's phone call with Ukrainian President Zelensky and then make all manner of false charges against Trump based on it. Democrats were furious that Trump was less than enthusiastic about their plans to use Ukraine as a proxy to go to war with Russia. End of quote. Right? I mean, so that was their whole plan. And it's still their plan. The deep state wants this war with Russia. They're using Ukraine as a proxy against Russia because they want to cripple Russia. Well, then, writes Paul, they impeached Trump again over the false charge that he led an insurrection against the U.S. government on January 6, 21. End of quote. Well, you and I both know, Sam, there was no insurrection on January 6th. But there have been hundreds of political prisoners confined to cages on false accusations that they tried to overthrow the U.S. government.
Yeah, now, I would say there was not an insurrection by the people like we're told, and this is where the media and propaganda makes us slaves. There was not an insurrection by the people over by Donald. That's all true. There was a faux insurrection in that government officials tried to lead and create an insurrection, enough so to claim the lie. That is true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point. And they are spinning that and have spun it for over a year now, almost 2 years, this idea of an insurrection, when we all know that they had, what do you call those guys, agent provocateurs, members of the FBI and other agencies, but, you know, behaving as though they were Trumpsters, but actually encouraging people to enter the Capitol so that they could claim this insurrection. And now, Ron Paul writes, they have, quote, indicted him, meaning Trump, over some classified documents apparently discovered in his residence in Florida. End of quote. Well, Paul then asks the question, what happened to the boxes and boxes of classified documents discovered at multiple Biden locations? They have conveniently disappeared down the memory hole with the help of a complicit media. Nothing to see here. Move along. Well, he continues his column, quote, suddenly Donald Trump, who polling suggests would obliterate Joe Biden in a fair U.S. election, faces 100 years in prison. Where else would you see the head of one political party arrest his main political opponent on cooked-up charges? A banana republic. For those of us who love this country, it is truly shocking to see this abuse of power. But there's one thing these dirty tricksters never seem to understand. The more false evidence and false charges they cook up against Trump, the stronger Trump becomes. And with these outrageous and continuous attacks on Trump, the Democratic Party and plenty of Republicans have lost all credibility. End of quote. So that's the column. You know, and when the current attacks against Trump fail, and Dr. Paul believes they will fail, what will they cook up next to stop Trump? Sam?
I just can't even fathom what's next, but I know this. They have proven themselves successful with literally any con game they want to run because they have such control of the media. They have such control of the narrative that, you know what, they can flat out tell lies. And even if we expose the lies, they can just repeat those lies to the point where, hey, the American people start to believe them. And this is what I mean by turning us into slaves. At what point are we slaves if we don't know the truth? If we think Joe Biden is innocent, squeaky, clean, and good because they bury the Hunter Joe stories about pay-to-play and working with foreign governments and all that, and they're the good guys, and we can promote, amplify stories on Donald Trump that he's the evil guy that, you know, put the nation at risk because of classified information being breached, hey, how slave-driven are we if that's our narrative and our understanding, and we can get no other? And then add ChatGPT, another, quote, AI to this. How long will it be with AI until you have no independent thought separate from the propaganda peddled by AI driven by elitist databases controlling the narrative, controlling the information, controlling the focus, and relentlessly pounding that into you from every avenue. How much free thinking will be left overall at the end? And Ron Paul points this out very well with what he highlights. It's the most cogent article that I've seen on putting together all the abuses heaped on the Donald. Lowell?
Great point, Sam. And that ChatGPT is going to be representative of the body of the database on which it rests. So you're exactly right, Sam. If the preponderance of the data in that database favors, you know, one side or another, one particular ideology, whatever it might be, that is what ChatGPT is going to spit out when you ask it a question. And, you know, people unthinking people, people who don't use good, sound judgment, they're going to buy what ChatGPT says because they say, oh, this is artificial intelligence, right?
But that's, hold on, Lowell, that's first-gen people who know what it's like without it. But take a generation or two who know nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
What choice will they have if nothing ever crosses their mind of options and solutions? You look at the communists in China or some of these places. They know they're abused and they don't like it, but they don't know how to fix it. They don't know what the answers are. They don't have any reference point for solutions. Therefore, if you gave them liberty tomorrow, they'd vote communism right back in. Because they have no reference point for solutions or alternative thinking points of view.
Which is why we need a clear understanding of history. Because if we truly understand history, we'll recognize the fact that we were the freest people on the planet after the ratification of the Constitution. Up until the war for Southern independence went south against the Southern states, you know, for 50, 60, 70 years there, we had the greatest prosperity, the greatest growth, the most entrepreneurs, the finest, the best peace in the land, the prosperity. It was untold. I mean, it was beyond imagination. And the founders, would have been very proud, very happy to see what they had created. And why did that happen? Because they followed the Constitution for the most part. I mean, it was very good in early years about following the Constitution, that blueprint for liberty. And yet that's buried by today's historians. They don't want you to know that. They want you to believe that we were slave-holding, white, chauvinistic people, and that life was terrible back in the early days of the Republic. They don't want you to know the secret of prosperity, peace, and freedom. Well, that's why we need a clear understanding of history, Sam.
Think about nations that don't grow up knowing about God at all and how their people are, understand that, you've got to know about God, you've got to know about family, and you've got to know about country in a proper perspective. If you don't have that, you're a slave at the least to your own ignorance. And speaking of ignorance, most folks don't even know what FISA is, much less how abusive it's become. Lowell?
FISA is the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, FISA. Well, the Section 702 of FISA will expire unless it's renewed, and so Congress is approaching the vote on this. It's going to happen soon. I don't know exactly when, but members of the CampaignForLiberty.org know about this because of an email that came yesterday, pleading with us to call our senators and respectfully demand that they not renew Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. Well, it was discussed in the Senate Judiciary Committee last week, and of course the CIA and the FBI, the NSA, they all claimed they need Section 702. But they really don't, folks.
We'll talk about it with Lowell Nelson in seconds. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live. Think of Lowell Nelson and the information he brings forward with CampaignForLiberty.org.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
U.S. USA News. I'm Rich Johnson. Crews are rushing to the spot in the North Atlantic where the Titanic rests because a small submarine used to take tourists to the site is missing. No word on how many people may be aboard that sub, which dives nearly 2.5 miles to the ocean floor to let people view the wreckage of the ocean liner that sank during its maiden voyage in 1912. Tourists pay more than $100,000 for those submarine excursions. In Beijing,
we are not about decoupling. We're about de-risking and diversifying.
Secretary of State Anthony Blinken trying to clarify the U.S. position towards China. Blinken spoke after his 30-minute meeting with Chinese President Xi Jinping, saying it's in the U.S. interest for all major economies, including China's, to thrive, but
it's not in our interest to provide technology to China that could be used against us.
Blinken also said he failed to convince China to reestablish direct communication lines between the U.S. and Chinese militaries. President Biden is California-bound for an event on fighting the climate crisis and for what is his first campaign event of his reelection bid. It's the first of what will be as many as 20 campaign appearances in the last 11 days of June. At least 12 million of us around the USA are in the path of another huge storm that's bearing down on much of the South. Another 31 million are broiling under another day of intense heat. That's a double-dose challenge for people trying to recover from last week's storms. But NBC correspondent Priscilla Thompson in Perryton, Texas, says the word of the day there is resilience.
In just about every yard and business, you see a handful of people coming together to help with this cleanup. There are barbecue grills just about on every other block with people trying to hand out food so that as people are cleaning up, they can have a hot meal. And, of course, those things make such a big difference with this huge cleanup task that is still before this community.
Today is Juneteenth, marking the day when the last slaves in the USA were told they were no longer slaves. This is USA News.
Heart failure, carpal tunnel syndrome, shortness of breath, stomach issues, lower back pain. How does it all add up? If you have heart failure and any of those seemingly unrelated symptoms sound familiar, it's time to talk with your cardiologist and get the full picture. They may add up to transthyretin amyloid cardiomyopathy. ATTRCM is a rare and underdiagnosed disease. Recognize the signs and discuss them with your doctor soon. Learn more at connectwithyourheart.com. That's connectwithyourheart.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Have you ever picked up a towel set because it felt really soft in the store, but then when you go to use it, it's not very absorbent? That's why MyPillow has developed the MyPillow Towels. Towels that work. The six-piece towel set includes two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. And right now you can receive a six-piece set for only $39.98 with promo code USA. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, and enter promo code USA or call 800-951-8175. That's MyPillow.com, promo code USA.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Liberty Roundtable Live. Sam Bushman is spearheading this show. I'm his guest this hour. My name is Lowell Nelson. We've been talking about slavery here on June 19th. And, you know, you heard it just at the bottom of the hour news there again, folks. You heard a big lie. You heard that slavery ended on June 19th. Well, that's not true. The slave auctions in Kentucky, they were held all through November of 1865, as Brian McClanahan pointed out in his what he called the National Day of Historical Ignorance. June 19th, slavery didn't end until the 13th Amendment was ratified on December 6th of 1865. So if we want to celebrate the end of slavery, we could at least do it on the right day. But back to our topic at hand, we're talking about the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee hearing last week on the U.S. spy program. We got the CIA, the FBI, the NSA, the DOJ, the DNI. They're all testifying that we need this Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, or FISA for short, because it's so important for catching the bad guys. Yeah, right. They claim that Section 702 is necessary to stop the flow of drugs into the country. So, has the drug flow stopped? Yeah, I don't think so. But as newly released reports reveal, the FBI abused the FISA Section 702 database to spy on Americans over 3.6 million times over 2 years. And as congressional testimony revealed, the FBI systematically targeted law-abiding citizens at the expense of real law enforcement and punish those who spoke out. These agencies said they would punish any person who did something illegal, yet there was only a single person fired for illegal searches. Why? Because the deep state protects its own people. Their excuses, their explanations, they ring so hollow that Utah Senator Mike Lee noted this in his statement, quote, "In hearing after hearing about FISA and the FBI's shocking disregard for Americans' constitutional rights and civil liberties, we have been given basically the same answer by FBI directors, attorneys general, and other officials during three presidential administrations involving both major political parties. And the answer every time is more or less a variation of the following. Just trust us. Don't worry. We've got good people, law-abiding people running this, and we've got lots and lots of procedural safeguards in place to prevent this type of abuse that you're facing here. These are not the droids you're looking for." End of quote. So Lee highlighted abuse after abuse by the FBI in recent years, and he scoffed at the notion that the latest FBI policy update was going to change anything. Well, folks, it's time to demand Congress hold the FBI accountable and end Section 702, and don't renew it, in other words. It's time to end the surveillance state. The FBI conducts hundreds of thousands of illegal, warrantless searches on Americans every month. This is not an aberration of policy. This is policy. Now, just to quote this letter from the campaignforliberty.org one more time here, they say this, quote, "They've concocted bogus investigations against politicians, against pro-life and anti-war activists, and even persecuted parents concerned about what's going on in our schools. And as whistleblowers have testified, all of this came at the expense of legitimate work fighting sex traffickers and terrorists. This is an outrage, and Congress needs to hear our outrage." End of quote.
And well, when people are outraged, yeah, and they speak out and they call their congressmen and senators, I get that you need to be polite and respectful and decent, or else they're just going to dismiss you as a kook. So remember to keep your cool and be appropriate. However, you must be direct and clear. This is criminal, and we expect prosecution to the fullest extent of the law for the criminal acts committed by government agencies under the color of protecting us, or, you know, defending us against, you know, terrorists and whatever would be criminals. It is criminal what they have done. So you need to demand an end to Section 702 of FISA, but you need to demand an end to it all, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell?
Exactly right. And just so you know how that works, there will be a staffer that will take your phone call when you call your U.S. senator. If you've never done this before, just bear in mind, you probably won't get to talk to your U.S. senator, but that's okay. There will be a staffer there manning the telephone, and you tell him exactly what you want the senator to do. You want the senator to not renew Section 702 of FISA. What's that staffer going to do? He has a little clipboard, and he keeps a tally of every phone call that comes in on any given issue. And then every staff meeting, every morning, they sit down and the senator asks, well, what's hot? And that staffer is going to report to the senator, holy cow, we got 250 phone calls on Section 702 of FISA. They want you to vote against this renewal, senator. Now, the senator he always wants to get reelected, right? That's what senators do. They want to get reelected. And so if they know that there's 250 phone calls, against Section 702 and only 10 phone calls for it, that's going to affect the way they vote. I guarantee it. A politician, you can influence the way your politician votes simply by making these phone calls. And if they get enough, they just put their finger up in the wind. They see which way the wind is blowing, and that's the way they vote. So, yes, you and I can have a big impact on the outcome of this upcoming vote on Section 702 of the FISA. And so please do that after the show today. Make a phone call to your to both of your U.S. senators and make sure that they vote against the renewal of Section 702. And if your senators refuse, then get a senator who will do the right thing, who will adhere to the Constitution, Sam.
We need the right people to run for office, and then we need to elect the right people into office. And the way we get that done is we learn how elections work. We learn how to run campaigns. We learn how to make a difference. And don't believe it's a lost cause. They want you to feel checkmated, stalemate, out of the game, nothing you can do. Don't believe that lie. You can go to training school and get a handle on this and make a tremendous difference, Lowell.
The Foundation for Applied Conservative Leadership, or FACL for short, which is kind of a sister organization to the campaignforliberty.org, has prepared a training class just in the past couple of years. They've introduced it to help liberty-minded candidates get elected. You know, we have great people who run for office, who have the right ideology, they understand the proper role of government, they want to adhere to the Constitution, and then they run for office, but they really don't know how. You know, they've never done it before. They have the courage, but maybe not the know-how. And so this course by FACL, I'm bringing to Utah twice this year. It's coming this week, this Saturday. It'll be in Utah, in Sandy, June 24th, the very last Saturday in June. And we need people to sign up for this course, to take, particularly if you're somebody who's thinking about running for office, or if you're going to help somebody who's running for public office, you need to be in this course. It comes again to Utah on October 21st. So if this weekend doesn't work for you, then plan for it October 21. And now, not only here, but all over the country, FACL is teaching this course all over the country. And you can go to FACL-training.org, and you can see all the places this class is being taught across the nation. So you are thinking about running for public office, or if you're going to help somebody run for public office, you need to be in this training class, because it will help you win your election. And that's going to change the political landscape in your city, if you're running for city council, or in your county, if you're running for county commission, or in your state, if you're running for a legislative seat, because it's going to put a liberty-minded person in that seat instead of, you know, the usual politician that just votes for what is going to benefit himself and himself only. So that's my plea, folks. Attend any class taught by FACL, the Foundation for Applied Conservative Leadership, this year, and you will be more powerful than ever before influencing politicians and influencing public policy. Sam?
And ladies and gentlemen, I've added this link to the show notes too, so you have a chance to go ahead and sign up. Look, we can make a difference, folks. Promoting liberty and curtailing tyranny is very difficult if we don't have the right people in office, ladies and gentlemen. And most of our good candidates don't even know how to run a campaign effectively. This is our chance to learn how and then run a campaign ourselves and or help them do so, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go ahead and skip the break, if you will. We've got so much to cover, so little time. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, doing a phenomenal job as always. But, folks, we got to talk about Pfizer. The criminal organization, in my humble opinion, to which I'm entitled, put out vaccinations. Your government backed it. Even Donald Trump backed it. Shame on them all, because they knew better. And here's the proof. Lowell?
A recently released confidential Pfizer document from 2022 reveals the company observed over 500,000 case reports and nearly 1.6 million adverse events following vaccination, yet pretended its shot was safe. This document from August 22 shows Pfizer was aware of 1.6 million adverse events reported by those who had received its COVID vaccine clot shot, as I like to call it, because it's really not a vaccine. The adverse events span more than 10,000 different categories that affected nearly every organ system in the body, and yet Pfizer still concluded that its shot was safe and effective. End of quote. The adverse events were three times more common in women than men. The highest number of cases affected the 31 to 50-year age group. And because 92% of individuals did not have comorbidity, it's unlikely that their adverse events could be attributed to anything but Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine. See, that's really telling, Sam. That's very, very telling. 92% of the individuals who reported adverse events had no comorbidities. And, of course, why would they? They're from the 31 to age 50 age group, right? Those 20 years, 31 to 50. Well, they don't have comorbidities in that age group. 92% of those individuals, right, had no comorbidities. And yet they were adversely affected by this clot shot. And the adverse effects spanned the spectrum, hundreds and hundreds of categories. In other words, the adverse event was not just a neurological disorder, not just an enlarged heart, not just a facial twitch or hearing loss. You know, for example, 73,000 cases in 264 categories, vascular disorders were reported by individuals after receiving Pfizer's COVID vaccine. 696,000 cases of nervous system disorders were reported. 61,518 reported eye disorders in 100 different categories. More than 47,000 ear disorders, including 16,000 cases of tinnitus, 225,000 reports of skin and tissue disorders, 190,000 respiratory disorders. I mean, the list goes on and on. And why is it important to know that it was so it hit such a variety? Well, because they did not want you to be able to trace the adverse event back to their clot shot. That's why it's affecting so many different areas. That's really why. They concluded the benefits of the shot outweighed the risks, and said, quote, no additional changes are warranted at this time, end of quote. So wrote the company that made billions off of its so-called safe and effective injection. And to date, folks, the FDA has not updated the product label for Pfizer's COVID vaccine to include a list of potential adverse events, nor has Pfizer been held accountable for failing to disclose these potential vaccine injuries to the public. But you get it right here on Liberty Roundtable, folks. You get the straight story, and you now know over 1.6 million adverse events from this clot shot by Pfizer. Sam?
Plus 500,000 cases that they know didn't go well from the shots as well. Not reported adverse events, but the cases that they realized downstream problems occurred. That is 2 million in their sample study. Now, here's what I find interesting as well. A significant portion of this was women, three times more so than men, between 31 and 50. They're attacking the mothers and the wives of this country. Remember, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world, ladies and gentlemen, because they educate, they teach, they provide the moral framework for, they teach the children at their knee for the next generation of leaders, ladies and gentlemen. But when you intentionally attack the wives and the mothers, you're attacking the family and all of society. Remember when push came to shove in the Randy Weaver case? They murdered Vicky Weaver. They literally had a sharpshooter, Lon Horiuchi, murder her when she stood in her doorway of her home with a baby in her arms, unarmed. They had a sniper murder her. And when it was discussed about why, because they understood that, look, everything would fall apart without the mother and the wife. You think this is coincidence, Lowell?
Not at all, Sam. No, very intentional. This clot shot, as you know, targets the reproductive system of the body, the blood clotting system, the immune system. And so it is very much targeted. I mean, look at all the miscarriages that followed when a person, you know, a pregnant woman gets the clot shot, they have a miscarriage. Look at all of the spike proteins that invaded the you know, the reproductive system. And so Well, it affected all kinds of systems. It's not the only system, as we just said, it affected, but it certainly attacked that reproductive system pretty viciously, in my opinion. I think the adversary wants to curtail the number of people that, you know, being born onto this earth, and that COVID mRNA clot shot gene therapy injection was just the ticket. I think it curtailed the number of people, number of babies being born to this planet. I think it curtailed it significantly, Sam. And so you're right.
Targeting mothers, and I think it injured the mothers and the wives who are providing tremendous leadership. They're the ones going to your local school and saying, no, you're not going to teach perversion to Johnny. No, Johnny's not a girl. He's a boy. No, Tina's not a boy. Tina's a girl. All right. And Caitlin, Johnstone, one of these women, is highlighting a truth that we don't want you to forget. We don't want to end on a negative note. We know things look pretty rough. We also know where the solutions are found, Lowell.
She writes, we can win this thing and create a healthy, harmonious world, and the work of each of us does to help bring this about makes a real difference. The more I observe and learn about human behavior, she writes, the more convinced of this I become. Every positive change in human behavior is always preceded by an expansion of consciousness. End of quote. You know, and by expansion of consciousness, she means an increase in awareness, like we said earlier in the program. For example, the U.S. civil rights movement, making Americans more aware of the injustice and destructiveness of racism. The victim of abuse realizing that abuse is happening and that a better life is possible and that they deserve it. Increased literacy and a greater ability to distribute the written word, giving society a greater hunger for freedom and democracy and less tolerance for overt tyranny. So those are the examples, well, some of the examples. I just picked out the top three examples that she gave where she illustrates that an increase in awareness precedes the positive change in human behavior. I think it's a phenomenal observation. And then she makes this important observation, quote, this movement from the darkness of unconsciousness into the light of awareness can create the illusion that things are getting worse because they turn up so much ugliness, end of quote. You know, and this is one thing that I've wondered about too, Sam, are things actually worse today than they were 50 years ago? Or is our awareness of bad things broader?
See, I think she and you are both right. The awareness, the latter is the issue. I agree with that, Lowell.
Yeah. Well, I think both. I think we're better informed, you know, because of the awareness, because of the internet, the social media, the citizen journalists are far more common today. They can get the word out over the internet and social media. But I also believe things are getting worse and more evil, too. You know, so I think it's probably a combination of both factors. Well, Johnstone seems to think that heightened awareness is the reason. She says this, the dawn of the internet has turned up a tremendous amount of ugliness and cruelty that had previously gone unseen and unknown to most people. Yeah, I agree. This can lead to the mistaken impression that the internet itself is making people more cruel and ugly than they previously were, but it isn't. It's just turning up humanity's long-standing inner demons that had previously functioned solely in the dark. End of quote. Pretty interesting, right? She writes this also. Humanity is indisputably becoming more conscious. As awkward and sloppy as our situation looks right now, we're becoming more and more aware of the problems our species faces. And our rulers are having to do more and more work to pull the wool over our eyes and keep us marching in a way that is convenient to them, end of quote, right? So great, great points that she's making here, Sam. But is her response to be discouraged? No, of course not. And neither should we be discouraged. She writes this, what's exciting is that we all have the ability to participate in and facilitate this expansion of consciousness. We each have the ability to help humanity become more conscious in our own small way, thereby bringing us that much closer to a positive shift in our collective behavior. And now, Sam, here is the very essence of her column. Let me read this paragraph. Anything you can do to help make humanity a little more aware of the abusive nature of the systems which drive the problems we now face makes a difference. Even if it's a difference as small as making one single person a little bit more aware of one specific aspect of the tyranny we're being subjected to, it doesn't make a huge difference, but it does make a difference. And as long as it makes the slightest bit of difference, it is worth doing, because a lot of slight differences add up to a massive difference. And there are a whole lot of people who have the ability to do this. End of quote. So, Sam, as usual, folks, it's up to us, you and me. We can spread awareness of what's going on in the world. We can help others see the lies of the empire in which we live, and that we are being deceived and lied to and manipulated, but that we can see through the propaganda and make the world a better place. And as we help others to become more aware of the world around them, positive change becomes inevitable. I like the word that she used there, Sam. Positive change becomes inevitable. I mean, we can't stop it. It's going to happen no matter what. That's the end result as we make more people aware around us of what's really going on. Well, what do you think, Sam?
It reminds me of the starfish example. It made a difference for that one, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. And so when Caitlin Johnstone writes this headline, I am encouraged. It gives me hope and puts a smile on my face. She says this, your efforts make a difference. And we can win this thing. So just put your name in front of this, ladies and gentlemen. For all that you do for the sacred cause of liberty, Sam, Lowell, listener, whoever you are, Sam, your efforts make a difference. We can win this thing. What a positive note to end on, Lowell, as we contemplate how we can make a difference. And as we look at this thing, I think her perspective is the right one.
And it's reminiscent of the idea that the darkest hour before daylight, the darkest time of night is the hour before daylight, right? Where if you know, it all looks bleak, it all looks bad, but that's sometimes what it takes to awaken a person to their awful situation. Just look at the COVID lockdowns, what that did. It illustrated the tyranny of the state, and it made a lot of people upset, and it woke a lot of people up. Look at what happened in our schools when parents became aware that they were teaching CRT and SEL and Black Lives Matter and you know, racist type things, right? Well, it woke them up, and they said, hey, you're not, you shouldn't be doing that. And there's more people involved now in school board, parents on the school board now than ever before, because of the bad things that happened. It woke them up, they got involved, and then positive things happened. That just happened over and over again in the last 2 years, folks.
They used to say to me when I got in this business over 25 years ago, Sam, that's great, but you're just preaching to the choir. And my response is, I'm grateful the choir's growing. And so the people that used to say that to me now say, Sam, how did you know? And eventually they start saying, Sam, what should we do? And that chronological understanding is the solution. We the people, gaining knowledge and information, and then turning to God and trusting in Him and using that information to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property. That is the quintessential purpose for this show. Lowell Nelson, your efforts make a difference, my friend. God bless you and all that you folks do over at campaignforliberty.org. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome, Sam. Love you, brother. Take care.
There he goes, doing a phenomenal job, and I'm Sam Bushman. Yeah, man, we can make a difference, ladies and gentlemen. We can win this thing. God Almighty wins in the end. That's the good news. Faith in Christ and hard work gets it done. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. God save the Republic of the United States of America.